Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Sessions G. This is Intuitive Session 5. I am so excited to have this beautiful soul with us today. Her name is Chelsea. I'm going to let her introduce herself in just a moment. Before that, I just want to say thank you for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy this as much as I know we will both enjoy it. Chelsea, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is really fun. Intuitive Session 5. Wow, I have to listen to the other sessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am Chelsea. My name is Chelsea Keene, and I am a Nia dance fitness teacher. I also have created a program called the Body Love Program, which is designed to empower people to feel powerful in the face of body image concerns. And I am also creator and host of the Let Beauty Guide You podcast, which is a health and wellness. So we.
I did not know that. I'm so excited. I'm going to have to listen to your podcast now.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
That's beautiful. And it's called Let Beauty Guide You.
Yes.
That is so cool. So what is that about? What does that mean to you? Let beauty guide you.
It's a funny question, because when I ask my guests that question, they come up with the most beautiful answers. To me, it's about choosing to see what's beautiful and letting that be your focus, I think we have a lot of personal responsibility in terms of what we focus on and the energy we put towards things. And when we focus on the good stuff, the magic, the good relationships, the personal development, the things that, the healthy things that make us feel good, it goes a long way. So that's what it means to me. Yeah,
that's beautiful. The first thing that I thought of was a few days ago. So I smoke cigarettes, and so that in part takes me out at outdoors quite often, which I think is a beautiful invitation to just be outside. And one of the things I notice about myself when I'm outside is that I'm either seeing the beauty in my surroundings. I'm seeing the beauty in like the infrastructure of the houses around me, and the snow and the sky and the clouds. And, right now I can see the clouds moving at this like very fast pace, which is really cool. And then sometimes I'm aware of all that beauty that's present, and yet I find myself sort of taken away by my thoughts, or by some sort of thing that I've been thinking about, or some sort of matter of concern, and then I'm not looking at the beauty. And so it's been very interesting for me. Like, smoking is a great moment for me to just be aware of the way in which I focus my attention on either the beautiful things that are around me that are already there, or my own head. And the lots of things that are in my head, and like that, this balance, it's almost like a dance, like dancing around my own thoughts to land my focus on the beauty. So I think that's really cool. That's what that made me think of.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds kind of like a meditative practice, and it's kind of like a microcosm for what we're doing in our lives always. We are always dancing around our focus. Are we focused on the inner critic, the voice in our head that is like holding us back, or are we focused on what's possible and what we can create and what we can do to make something better, So yeah, that's cool. I love that. The reason why people associate smoking with philosophizing.
Yeah. It definitely is for me. I mean, it's an excuse. It's always been an excuse to either feel connected to other people. And like when you're smoking around other people, there's a sense of belonging and a sense of community. And when I'm smoking alone, it's like I, you know, I'm with my thoughts, and there's a lot for me to notice with myself. So it's always been a good excuse for meditative philosophizing. So how did that happen for you? Like, how did you get to this perspective and this approach to life?
Oh my gosh, where do I begin? oh man, I don't know how to answer that. I think that, well, okay, so we met doing Landmark, right? We met, of course. I think it was a series of personal development courses and experiences which got me to this place where I really want to focus on, you know, health and wellness and making a difference and being a contribution and all of those great things. For me it was just, you know, life just landed me in a series of events where one thing led to another. You know, I got involved with Nia, which is a beautiful practice and a beautiful way to connect. It just kind of became part of who I am and what I want to do and where I want to focus my energy. That being said, you know, it's also important to acknowledge, we've got to focus on the beauty and what we can create, but also acknowledge what isn't working, right? And be willing to explore what's not beautiful and talk about that and shed light on it and you know, thereby make it beautiful when we can like make those necessary changes and all that. So, does that answer your question?
Absolutely. So it was a series of various events and circumstances that unfolded and together just brought you to a place where you wanted to make different choices in your life. And here you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So what's something that, and this could be something that you've either worked with or contemplated on a lot, something that you just, you know, comes to mind, or something that's comes to mind of, you know, recently in your life? What's an example of something that you felt you had to look at, even though it wasn't necessarily what you consider to be beautiful?
just with everything happening in the world, you know, I mean, there's so much, the pandemic, I mean, these societal issues were always there, right? But the pandemic and people losing their jobs and, you know, it just exposes, you know, it exposes all the cracks in society, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing how, you know, and obviously, of course, with the Black Lives Matter movement, I don't want to say movement because it's a permanent, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a permanent shift that we need to be always talking about and everything. But just really, really getting present to what isn't working in society, what we need to, be present to and what we need to change and, you know, the conversational shifts that need to happen, the societal shifts, everything, you know, it just,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to, you know, sometimes it's like, especially with social media, you know, when I'm sharing about Nia and I'm sharing about my podcast and I'm sharing about all the things that, you know, health and wellness, everything that I want to stand for, right? And I want to stand for, you know, this positive energy. But also you have to acknowledge what isn't positive and you have to put light on that, you know, and have those difficult conversations and, and acknowledge the inauthenticities, acknowledge where there's like something falling short in terms of things being equal or inclusive or what have you. So just being willing to have those conversations as well, you know, like we can't just like, I think like, you know, yoga teachers and, you know, people who identify as spiritual, you know, they get, they get a bad reputation for being naive, right? And in some ways that's warranted. In some ways that's warranted because, you know, what's being projected seems like this naive, like innocent brush on what's happening in the world, right? So I think it's important that you know, people who identify as spiritual and, you know, light workers, that they also have these more difficult conversations too. So
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I totally agree with you. I'd like to invite you to kind of talk, bring up anything that you might want to talk about or something that's kind of on your mind. Before we do that, I'd love to hear, if that's okay with you, what does that look like in your own life? Like how have you been honoring that?
Okay, sorry, how have I been honoring?
So what is it? how have you been honoring this approach of acknowledging what does need to be looked at and what does need to be acknowledged and worked with, like the sort of not so positive things?
Yeah. So for me, I've been doing a lot of, you know, education, like I've been reading a lot more, you know, about racism and inequality, and you know, I've been doing my reading, and then I've been thinking about, okay, well, how do I bring this into my work? You know, so for example, the Body Love program, right? I'm learning about how, you know, you know, there's a correlation between racism and fat phobia and stuff like that. You know, when I'm leading my programs, I'm aware of that, and I can hold space for conversations like that. You know, I haven't come up, like, you know, my Body Love program is new and everything, so I haven't delved into those conversations yet in my program, but it's something that I am broadening my awareness of, and I'm willing to bring into the conversation. So, you know, I think it's important that we all keep doing what we're meant to do in terms of, you know, keep teaching yoga, keep teaching Nia, keep doing all your healing practices, but do it with an awareness, right? So I'm a lot of self-educating right now. You know, just seeing where I can be personally responsible and making things more inclusive and yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. That's beautiful. I love what you said there about keep doing yoga, keep doing Nia, keeping up these healing practices while also integrating more and more the reality and the environment and that we're in. Because I like it, I think that is the most profound kind of work. Like it's one thing to do work with, you know, for example, in a space with people who are totally on board and, you know, receptive and are kind of like on the same wavelength and feel the same way and you know, are very like-minded and that's, you know, great also. And there's also a lot more for us to work with in the world that doesn't necessarily feel easy and doesn't necessarily feel like-minded. And that's where real work happens, I think.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's where the transformation happens. You know, we have to address what's not working and not only just talk about what is, you know, it's, yeah. And, you know, grief and gratitude can exist simultaneously, right? Like we can be grateful for all that is beautiful and all that is working, and also acknowledge that there are things that don't too. So
yeah, exactly. All right. So what's something that's on your mind?
What's something that's on my mind? Oh, well, honestly, I'm just, I've just moved to Calgary, and I am looking out my window right now, and I have a very beautiful view. So in Calgary, it's 8:15 a.m. right now. So the sun is still rising. Mm-hmm. And I have this gorgeous sky before me. So I'm just looking at that as I'm speaking to you, and that's what's on my mind. Beautiful. What's on your mind?
Welcome to Calgary. That's awesome. What's on my mind? Part of what's on mind was something that I was sort of thinking about contemplating in meditation this morning. But mostly it's at the forefront of my mind is just that I'm feeling gratitude to be in this space with you. Mm-hmm. I feel gratitude for the unfolding of this space as it happens, and kind of like I'm kind of like a little kid that's excited to see what's going to come of it.
Great. I love that.
Yeah.
I know when you reached out to me and you were like, oh yeah, we're just going to talk about intuition. I was like, oh my God, cool. Because intuition is such, it's like, that's a big concept. It's a concept which can apply to many aspects of life, right? So I was actually curious, you know, what does intuition mean to you, and how does it operate in your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that with a lot of things like intuition, it looks a little differently, and I describe it differently depending on the context that it's in. Mm-hmm. But a sort of general stroke of intuition, it's kind of like, let's call her like a fairy, and she's my personal fairy, and she's with me always, and she just helps me when I either am not sure about something, or she gives me these very nice little nudges of where I'm supposed to go or what feels right. She's like a compass almost, and also like a friend, like a true, caring, helpful friend, a loving, kind friend. And I'm calling her a fairy, but I've never actually done that before, so this is new for me. Okay. Intuition is my fairy. For me, it's something that I reach for when I feel like I need guidance, when I feel like I'm not sure which way to go. I reach for that intuition. And it's also something that shows up even when I'm not necessarily reaching for it. So if I'm in a particular space, for example, with a lot of other people, or I'm walking down the street to go somewhere, sometimes intuition just shows up and says, hey, go that way, or hey, turn to your right. It's these like very subtle nudges towards something. And I found in my experience that the more I listen to those nudges and the more I kind of go with them, the more magical life becomes, and the more extraordinary and synchronistic it becomes. I start to notice more beauty and more serendipity, and also greater and greater awareness. My awareness is expanding of myself, of others, and my understanding of myself. It has somehow led me to all the right places in order for various shifts to occur in my life. And I attribute that to intuition, to that very gentle, sweet nudge towards something. So that's intuition for me. And I love my intuition. I'm so, so grateful for it. And I love knowing that it's also present in others. And I love knowing that it has such a profound, beautiful impact for others as well. And because I know that that is the case, you know, intuition is now not just something that resides within me. Rather, it's something that's in everything. And just knowing that, it's kind of like it levels up that understanding of intuition and makes it something that is kind of like a wave of energy that's just flowing. So if we go back to the fairy, intuition is this amazing fairy that's present everywhere all the time and can show up in different places and people and even, you know, a squirrel or something. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really beautiful. It's such a beautiful reminder and indication that there is an interconnectedness, or there is something that exists within everything and connects and flows through everything. And it's just beautiful to have that kind of a reminder.
Totally. I love the, it's so funny because intuition is such, everyone has such a personal take on it, right? Mm-hmm. So I love the image of the fairy that's always there, and you know, you're either tapping into the fairy or not, but the fairy is always there. and just like working with your fairy, it's like more and more comes to you, right? So yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that image. That's really cool.
Yeah. So what about you? What does intuition mean to you?
Oh man, I mean, it's so many things. I can relate to the metaphor of the fairy. Me, I really feel intuitive pulses in my body. So in some ways it's difficult for me to explain of words, because I kind of conceptualize intuition as a medium of its own. I feel intuitive pulses in my body as like physical sensations. I don't know if intuition is the right word for this, but I would say that I'm naturally very present to other people's emotions. And even just like the slightest micro expression will give me like a whole window into their world. You know, I'm just kind of naturally present to that. And, you know, in some ways I'm able to have kind of, intuitively guided conversations with people about where they're at emotionally. In some ways it's a difficult thing. I think I have, you know, my journey in life is figuring out how to not take on other people's emotions, because I naturally do that. It's just something for me to be responsible for, you know, in drawing healthy boundaries so that I don't, so that I can still be a contribution in my own way and not take on other people's stuff, right? That's definitely something that is, that's how I conceptualize intuition for me. And then again, you know, you use the word synchronicity. Like being present to all the synchronicities, just like, you know, thinking of someone and then I look at my phone and they've texted me And it can be someone that I haven't talked to in ages, you know, just stuff like that. And I think like the more that I, the closer I am with someone at any given point in time, I can like, I can feel their energy from afar and kind of be like, okay, I need to call them now because they're worried about me, or, you know, just like those intuitive, and they hit me like a lightning bolt, you know?
Yeah,
just stuff like that, you know, and we're all empathic, you know, whether we're present to it or not, we're all empathic. And it's just, I think it's just a choice whether you're present to those energies and those impulses, you know, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Beautiful. Okay. So let's talk about that, the topic of being present and being aware of someone else's emotions and then taking it on. So for me, I like the first thing that comes to mind is that there is a difference between, or there can be a difference between noticing and being aware of something and taking it on. Yeah. So, and I think that like being able to come up with that difference is a product of really just diving into and exploring what does it mean to take something on versus what does it mean to simply be aware of it. So I'm going to turn that around on you. And so let's say, so imagine that you are in actively in that scenario, and you're aware and you're present to, you know, the emotion of someone else or something that's occurring for someone else, and you're aware of it, and now you're taking it on. So can you explain what does it look like to take it on?
Yes. You know, and I will explain this. I will reveal what happens in my interior world. But I will say that I don't recommend anyone. I don't recommend that anyone like try and take it on. I don't actually think it's a good thing. So yeah, I'll just preface by saying that for me. Like I said earlier, for me, it's a learning not to, and sometimes it won't always succeed. So yeah, I will share what happens in my world, but I don't recommend anyone. It's not this virtuous thing, you know. It's not. There's a boundary that needs to be drawn, right? But yeah, I'm prone to taking things on. And maybe an example is, you know, you know, my roommates are fighting downstairs and I'm up in my room and I'm literally shaking. Like I'm shaking from energy, you know? And you know, like that's a high sensitivity, right? So it's just being able to be like, okay, that actually has nothing to do with me, and like, and not taking it on. So, you know, what I did then is, you know, I put on my headphones to try and, you know, get back to just like, okay, what are my emotions, right? Not what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I've worked in lots of, customer service, customer support roles. And, you know, obviously you get a whole range of emotions of people are dealing with stuff, right? So, and so for me, when I'm talking to someone who's stressed out, I'm stressed out, you know? So even if I have the ability to like, you know, be like, okay, well, I'm going to take care of this for you, it still causes me a lot of emotional distress. Again, I shouldn't word it that way. No one can make you feel a certain way. There's that responsibility to take for my own emotions. But yeah, that's my learning journey. It's not learning how not to take it on. And I take it on like physically in my body. So why, you know, movement and dance is such a release for me, because I am such an emotional person, and it helps me release that. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So would you say that when you take on an emotion, you're also taking on the stories that often, so if a person is feeling a particular emotion, I think there's often a narrative that's comes along with it. There are stories embedded with the emotion, or stories that the emotion evokes for people. So do you think in that context, you also take on their stories about the emotions that they're feeling, or do you just take on the emotion?
Yep. I've never thought about it that way. Maybe. Do you mean like in terms of like believing the story of like why they're feeling that emotion, or like what
exactly? Yeah, I mean that would be an example. Sometimes when we are this is all my opinion. Sometimes when we are heavily, you know, swimming in a particular emotion, you know, often that comes with believing a particular story or a set of stories. And sometimes it is just an emotion and it's a story that's actually occurring or reflecting reality. But I think that more often than not, there are stories that come up when we feel an emotion that aren't necessarily true in that moment. And when we believe those stories, we kind of keep the emotion as charged as it is, rather than just being present to the emotion. So that's what I mean by that. Does that explain it?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. And I think like in the moment of whatever is going on, it really is. It's just a hypersensitivity to the energy. And, you know, yeah, it really, I don't think it goes much further than that for me. It's like, it's just because I just feel the energy in my own body. That's really cool.
Awesome. Cool. I can definitely relate to that, feeling the energy of either a space that I'm in, or the energy that a person brings in when they walk in, or an energy that a person starts to express and create if they're you know, starting to feel something, like if someone starts to get sad, there's certainly I think there's a shift that happens in their sort of energetic signature in that moment. Mm-hmm. And some people, like yourself, I imagine, are far more aware of when those shifts are occurring and can feel that shift within you know, the way in which that shift in the other person relates back to your energetic field or presence in that moment. And that's I think, like in some ways, that's an incredible skill to have. It's a very helpful skill in being able to understand others and see where they are. And be able to help them because of that, you know, greater understanding of what's occurring. Because sometimes people don't know what they're feeling. They're not entirely sure where it's coming from or what's happening for them. They just know that something is happening. And so when you have this hyper awareness of a shift, then it's almost like you're able to offer some sort of insight or able to reflect what you see back to them. And that could help them see themselves better.
Yeah, totally. I think like it really does just give access to a conversational space, right? When you're aware that there's something going on with someone else, you can just like, you know, ask them, you know, and get into their world, and sometimes just like someone being there to acknowledge and hear what they have to say helps, right? So mm-hmm. it really is, I think it's just like a it's kind of like an EQ, like an emotional presence that is certainly helpful. So, you know, while I say that my ability, you know, my sensitivity can be not such a good thing, it is also a good thing too. So it's just like anything, it has its you know, benefits and its cons. But yeah, it is it's just a trait. It's a trait you have, and I think if you don't have it, you can develop it, like no problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So you called it a trait. So I'm wondering if that implies that. So I'll just ask you the question: do you think that the if you were to ask yourself, why do I take this on, or why have I taken this on in a particular, you know, any given moment in time, would the answer to that be because it's a trait to take things on? Like that's sort of like the default, and then the opportunity that life presents you with is working with that and understanding that so that you can start to use that to empower yourself and others rather than having it be something that sometimes disempowers you or feels like it's disempowering. So would you say that the answer to why is one of, you know, that's sort of like the default cards that you were dealt as, you know, and that's just a trait that you just so happen to have. And now, you know, you can choose to work with that and change that and transform that. Or of course you can choose not to.
Yeah. yeah, the word trait is interesting. I think, you know, that goes into the whole like nurture nature conversation of, you know, how we come to be who we are, right? So I think I've just kind of naturally, you know, as a kid, I was always a sensitive kid, you know, and I think maybe that was my, you know, kind of natural tendency. But certainly the impulse to take on other people's emotions and not only take on other people's emotions, but want to be responsible for them and want to peacekeep and all of that, you know, that comes from, you know, childhood scenarios, you know, being informed by, you know, things happening in my childhood where, you know, taking that level of control was to my benefit, right? So, you know, that's just an awareness. You know, we all have those, we've all developed impulses, like, you know, survival instinct impulses due to something that happened in the past, right? So I'm doing all that, I've done that work, and, you know, I know why I do that. So it's, again, it's just being aware and being like, okay, so I'm aware I'm trying to take on this other person's emotions so that I can keep the peace. And just being, okay, well that's all, you know, that's all from the past and that's why I'm doing that. And then, you know, once I have that awareness, I can kind of put it aside, right? So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, it absolutely does. It totally does. It brings up an interesting like question for me around awareness itself. I totally, you know, what you're saying resonates with me, and it's definitely awareness has definitely been in many cases the first step you know, making change possible in any area of my life. But what's interesting is awareness itself, I'm not personally entirely sure how awareness happens, because it seems to me like in some cases, I know for myself, I become aware of things because I'm either actively seeking and understanding. So I'm reading things and I'm talking to other people and I'm listening to things. And so I become aware of more information. And then in other ways, it's, you know, I I participate in particular, you know, practices and ceremonies, and just I participate in activities that, you know, create space for awareness to take place as well in other ways. But I also acknowledge that sometimes an awareness of something, whether it's in reference to myself or others, or just, you know, the planet or reality or life or whatever, sometimes it just happens. And sometimes I think sometimes it's kind of like that lightning bolt that you mentioned earlier, or, you know, this, I guess, goes back to intuition. Sometimes an awareness just happens, a realization or a breakthrough or an insight. It just happens. And of course, I think, you know, it happens because of everything else that kind of happened before that moment. You know, I think, of course, there's an element of every other sort of moment that occurred and every other action step and every other expansion of awareness and breakthrough that happened in the past. The culmination of that is what produces like a particular insight on some level. But I also feel that there's something like that, there's a part of that equation that isn't necessarily something that I can explain rationally, or I can conceptualize or put into words. And that brings me back to sometimes that awareness just happens. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts around that.
Yeah, I mean, again, it brings me back to some of this stuff it's difficult to put into the medium of words because that's not the medium that it is, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's like trying to explain a psychedelic experience to someone who's never had one. Like, it's ineffable. You can't really explain it. You just know when you're in it. Awareness is like, you know, if I am to try to conceptualize it through words, it's like a flash and a feeling of clarity, you know, and it can come to you in different ways. You know, sometimes, you know, like I find when I'm dancing, for example, sometimes, you know, I'll just be doing a routine that I'm doing, like, it's just from the Nia TV program, you know, it's just, I'm learning a routine or whatever, and I'm dancing, and I'll just have like a flash of clarity about something. I can't even think of an example right now, but it's just like, oh yeah, like that's so clear to me right now. And then, you know, and sometimes it's just even when other people are sharing their stories about something, I'll have a flash of clarity about how it relates to my own life, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when I have those powerful flashes of clarity, it's even like, you know, my eyes feel wider open and I'm like a little bit more awake and that kind of thing. So there's like physical sensations that go along with it. But again, it's difficult to explain and describe what awareness is.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's definitely difficult to describe. And for me, that's kind of like it's an exciting thing to try and do.
Yeah.
Because it's really cool when you finally, you know, manage to describe or use language in a way that just feels like it's getting it we're inching closer to trying to describe it and doing so successfully. That's a really cool feeling for me. And that's why I love asking these kinds of questions and having conversations around them. I'd love to hear more about your or anything else that you want to share that's sort of coming up for you. But So I think from what I'm hearing, you're very in tune with your body and you're very grounded in your body. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear about that, whatever you feel like sharing about that.
Yeah, I think, just being in community with other people who have different kinds of, they do different kinds of healing modalities and stuff like that is, you know, people have different ways of receiving intuitive impulses and stuff like that. Like some people get a lot of images or they even like hear things, right? For me, it's always been physical sensations. And I don't really know why, to be honest. That's just been always how I receive intuition through physical impulses and feelings and stuff like that. I was always into dance and even like started doing, you know, asana yoga practice when I was in high school. I don't know. I think it was just like a natural interest and a natural inclination towards body work. And that's just kind of, that's my vehicle for attunement. I don't really know why, to be honest. Just confused.
I mean, I think if you like to hear my perspective,
I would.
I think if we look around us, there are different trees and there are different flowers and different plants, and each one, is a different seed. The overall general process and nature of things is such that there's a seed and a root, and it grows and then blossoms and becomes what it is. And they all look different. Various trees look different. Flowers look different. And it's the same with people. There's a natural course that sort of permeates through everything. And each one of us is that sort of different seed or that different root. And so as we grow and blossom, it looks differently. And it's because of that difference that for you, for example, there's a natural sort of inclination or natural affinity or attunement for a very embodied work or experience of life, whereas for someone like me, there's a natural inclination for a very mental and thought is the right word. I was going to use intellectual, but I'm going to go with thought. It's not as much body. It's more there's a word for it. Cognizance. It's a very sort of vague, just knowing thing that just happens mentally. So that's kind of, does that make sense?
Yeah. We're all, we're just naturally geared in different ways. And I'm curious to hear more about your experience of, that, like you use the word cognizant element, right? Like, can you explain in words?
Okay, I'll try. So one of the things, maybe what'll help is kind of like relating it back to something you said. You'd said some people see images, some people hear, and some people this and that. For me, that impulse, that intuitive impulse, or just those insights or things like that, that's why I said it just happens, because it's like when I'm, for example, in meditation and I'm being present and whatever is happening, there is a knowing that happens. And it's not something I hear or see, it's not something I feel, it's it's like none of the, it's neither of any of those things. It's just a knowing. It's just a kind of like, oh, I know thing that just happens. It's a presence of just knowing. And that's why I call it, that's why I use that word cognizance. And yeah, like it is very difficult to describe. And that's the only, those are really the only words that I know how to use in this moment. It's just a knowing that is there. It's like being in a, let's say a space that's all, you know, just a completely dark space, void of any content. And then being the thing that's aware of myself within that space, I am the light within that space, and I'm like creating. I'm the source of the content that kind of goes out and fills the space around me, and sometimes what happens is when I pull all of that energy back in, and I pull all of that focus and creative energy back in, and the space goes back to being blank. There is something that just happens on its own. Like it's kind of like something appears within that space without me necessarily willing that to happen or, you know, looking for something, because in that moment I'm in stillness and I've kind of like retreated everything. And this is like a split second of a moment. It just happens. Everything goes blank and then something appears, and that something is something that I think is something that is coming from the place of, you know, wherever all things are, you know, being created in or from or whatever. Like we call that source, we could call that divine, we call it whatever we want to call it. Something that just is. And that's what the knowing part of the experience for me in my life is when something that just is becomes clear to me and I just know it. And I know it because that's just what it is, because that's what it is. And like those kinds of moments happen when I'm able to clear out all of the things that I kind of dance around and the things that I create, you know, with either my mind or my storytelling in my head or perception, things like that. Did that kind of explain it?
Yeah. I mean, again, I would love to, if you wrote a book about this, like I would love to like read it and, you know, just like sit with the imagery that you've created, just kind of like, you know, because it's funny, like when you don't receive intuitive impulses that way, it's really fascinating to hear the way that someone else does, right? So mm-hmm. I just find it really interesting. So thank you for sharing that. Because, you know, it's a very intimate thing, you know, the way that we receive intuitive impulses and awareness and all of that is can be a very personal thing. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for putting it into words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you for asking. And I feel the same way about, the body. Because that's always been very interesting for me as well. The sort of I know I've personally in my life have tried out various, you know, dance healing modalities, and dance is definitely something that I find beautiful and healing for myself as well. While I also acknowledge that throughout my journey, I don't feel that way now, but in the past, I certainly had to work with this narrative in my head that I'm just not as in my body as I think other people are. And so this like comparison of like how grounded it seems other people are in their body versus how grounded I feel in my body. But, you know, I've been able to work through that. And what I've learned in that process is that, my experience of the body is different from, you know, somebody else's experience of the body, and that's okay. And there's room to hold space within myself for exploring more and more of that experience of the body, as well as holding space for what it already is for me naturally, while also, of course, holding space for the other experiences, like the sort of more mental, imaginative experience of things. I'm glad you asked. And we're hitting about an hour now. I'd love to hear more about the body experience for you, but I also don't want to keep you here longer than an hour. Do you have any final sort of thoughts or whatever, and anything that you want to say?
I think that just about covers it. You know, like I'm happy to, you know, if anyone wants to reach out and talk about their intuitive experiences or whatever, or have more questions, or, you know, I'm open for that. So yeah, I've enjoyed our conversation, and this was cool. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Chelsea. Thank you so much. And I hope you have, an awesome intuitive day out there.
Yes, you too. You too. Enjoy.
And that was Intuitive Session 5. What a wonderful session. I had so much fun. I hope you had fun too. Really, that was so much fun. As always, please come back, share with your friends, share your feedback, join me on this podcast, show some love. I love you. And until next time, thanks again for tuning in.